Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 55, 1-23, the godly response to betrayal by a former close associate. Being betrayed by a former close associate is an intensely difficult trial to face, for the pain caused by the trial brings a great temptation to lash out against the former close associate in personal revenge. But Psalm 55, 1-23, reveals the godly response to such a betrayal, and we view it for our insight and our edification. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer first, and then we'll get into his message. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the indwelling Spirit of God and for the privilege that you give us to meet together without being affected by government intrusion. We're so grateful. We know that there are many Christians around the world who don't have that liberty. So we ask that we would take advantage of it today to heed the word of God and to rely upon the Spirit of God to understand the word and to use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the psalm in the King's English and then we'll look at it. In the King James Version, Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was he that hated me that did not magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was you, a man my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked under the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them and let them go down quickly into Hades, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abides of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him, and he has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Okay, the introductory remarks in the English Bible comprise the first verse in the Hebrew text, so we're going to stay with the numbering system as we have done in the past that is found in the English Bible, and we do that for clarity with our lesson. So we translate the psalm as follows. Verse 1, give ear to my prayer, O Elohim, that's the word creator God, and do not completely hide yourself from my supplication. Hearken unto me and answer me. I wander restlessly with my musing. Musing is where you're dwelling on something, your mind is constantly going on it. I'm greatly disturbed at the voice of the enemy, at the snares of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in their anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart within me is in anguish. The terrors of death fall upon me. Fear and trembling have come upon me. Shuddering has overwhelmed me. So I said, Oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would flutter and flee far away and spend the night in the desert, Selah. I would go to my place of shelter far from the wind and the storm. O Adonai, that's the word for master. O my master, confuse and divide their counsels, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they prowl about on its walls, and troublesome thoughts and mischief are within it. Destruction forces are at work in the city, and threats and lies never leave its streets. For it is not an enemy that was saying sharp things against me, then I could endure it. It was not a foe who was raising himself up against me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, emphatic pronoun, a man like myself, my companion, my acquaintance, with whom I enjoyed sweet counsel in the house of Elohim as we walked along with a throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil finds lodging among them. I myself, that's emphatic pronoun again, call unto Elohim, and Yahweh saves me. Evening and morning and noon I cry out and am greatly disturbed, and he hears my voice. He ransoms my life, principle, and peace from the battle against me, though many are against me. Elohim, that's the creator word, who is enthroned forever, will hearken and afflict them, Selah. My companion attacks his friends. He violates his covenant. His speech is smoother as butter, but war is in his heart. His words are more soothing rather than oil, but behold, they are drawn swords. Release unto Yahweh your portion of care given to you, and he, emphatic pronoun, will sustain you. He will never let the righteous even totter. But you, another emphatic pronoun again, O Elohim, will bring them down to the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days. But I, another emphatic pronoun, will fully rely, batak, on you. And fully rely means to lie flat, face down on, complete dependence upon. Well, there are significant observations and applications that we have in this particular psalm. This psalm can be divided into three parts, where David prays in anguish with respect to himself, verses 1 to 8, in anger with respect to his enemies, verses 9 to 15, and in assurance with respect to God in verses 16 to 23. So that's the example of how to face and how to handle a painful betrayal. So if we're painfully betrayed, obviously it creates a lot of pain, so we need to pray about that anguish to the Lord. And then also it creates an enormous desire for vengeance, justice. And so we need to pour that out to the Lord too, because the only one who can take vengeance properly and righteously is the Lord. We can't do it ourselves. That's God's business. And then assurance in respect to God. This is a tremendous teaching tool as to how to handle that. There is a tremendous amount of tension that is built up in a person if he's been wronged, especially by a betrayal. The worst thing in the world to do is to unleash it on the party, because then who has wronged you, because then that is revenge, and that's not what God wants us to do. We are to release it, but we are supposed to release it to God, take it to him in prayer and pour it out to him, and then look to the Lord for his help. So that's how we follow it. Now, the lesson of the entire psalm is actually summarized up in verse 22, where David says, release unto Yahweh your portion of care that is given to you, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous totter. If we have been dumped upon with a betrayal, and there's this huge burden of care that we have, God doesn't want us to keep holding on to it. If we keep holding it onto it, all we do is just get ourselves worked up into a lather, and we get angrier and angrier, and all that does is hurt the person who's angry. What we need to do is release it, release it to God in prayer. Take it to him in prayer, and God will sustain us. And in fact, the Bible says that not only will he sustain us, that's the word cool, but he will never let the righteous even totter. The Hebrew word totter is in there, won't even wiggle, let alone slip. So that's what we need to do. We need to take it to the Lord. All right, this implies faith, though. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. I didn't put that verse in here, but it's a very important verse. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists, that he is, and that he will become a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We really need to trust God, that he lives and exists, and then take it to him in prayer. Now, one can discern if he has been subtly being betrayed, if he's subtly betrayed, by closely evaluating the words of the betrayer. Notice verse 21. His speech is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, but behold. The word behold means, but look, watch. They are drawn swords. If you pay attention, you can tell if a person's doing a number on you. Okay, if you pay attention to their words, listen to the words, listen to the context of their words and so forth. And if you're careful, you can discern it. But you have to think. You have to think carefully. Most of the time, if we're being betrayed by a close friend, we have our guard down, so we're not thinking that way about the words of our close friend. We have our guard down, so we just take it, and afterwards we realize that we've been had. So, but if you're concerned about this, you can discern if you pay very close attention to what the words are. And by their words, you can know, you can discern where they're coming from. And then there's a tremendous lesson within this, and I wrote this in number 4. We should select our friends carefully to avoid ruin due to needless betrayals. Now, many people have used Proverbs 18:24 out of the King James Version as a guiding verse in regards to relationships, but it's actually a very bad mistranslation of the Hebrew text. The King James says in Proverbs 18:24, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And so they had said, okay, in order to have friends, you have to show yourself to be friendly. That is not what the Hebrew actually is implying. The Hebrew is actually warning you about having too many friends or the wrong kinds of friends. Let me get that. Proverbs 18:24 in the New International Version. I'll get it right here. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So we are supposed to be selective in our friends. If we go out and try to be a friend with everybody, eventually we're going to get hurt, because some friends, you know, they're worse than enemies, put it that way. So be selective with our friends. And that's a lesson that we can learn here. And it's best to follow the Lord in having our friends and selecting our friends so that we can avoid unnecessary betrayals. Also, I didn't have room for this, but I added something else. You'll notice that David indicated up in verses 6, 7, and 8, oh, that I had wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would flutter and fleeing far away and spend the night in the desert. I would go to my place of shelter far from the wind and storm. David there is actually thinking of shrinking back from the attack, and that is actually commanded of us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. If we run into people who are overtly abusive, God doesn't want us to expose ourselves or allow ourselves to be exposed to unnecessary abuse. So the Bible says actually shrink back, and it's given in the middle voice. In the Greek language, the middle voice is the voice that is performed when the subject does the acting, but he does the acting for his benefit. It's halfway between the active voice, where the subject acts upon something else, and the passive voice, where the subject is acted upon by another party. The middle voice is the subject is still acting, but he's doing it for his benefit, so it kicks back to himself. So we need to watch this. And when Timothy says, from such withdraw thyself, he says, Timothy, for your good, pull back from people like this. God does not want you to be unnecessarily abused by an abusive party. If they are abusive, you shrink back as far as is necessary to avoid the abuse. The question often comes up, okay, what if this is a relative and I'm supposed to interact with a relative? I mean, we're getting ready for the 4th of July or, you know, a birthday party or whatnot. Okay, great question, difficult. I myself have faced this in my own extended family at times and so forth. The best thing to do in a situation like that is where you have to be with a party, make sure that there are other people present around you in the presence of that person, because that generally tends to limit the abuse of the party. But try not to be in the same room alone with them. Or you might, the abuse might be such that you could be in the same room, but you don't get into an extended conversation with them, because then you might get hurt. The point is, pull back as far as is necessary. Now, it may be that the person is so abusive, it's well known even by the family, that you might have to skip the actual gathering. I've known of situations like that because the person is almost murderous. They're violent. And in a situation like that, then you would have to pull back even from in the presence of the person. But this is never done in hatred. It's like being in a room with a pit bull terrier, all right? And the pit bull terrier is not your pet, it's somebody else's pet. The pit bull terrier wants to attack you. So what do? You don't hate the pit bull, you stay out of his way, all right? Stay out of the length of his leash. And there are certain people that are like that. Another point is very interesting. In verses 2 and 3, these are signs of being emotionally abused. And a lot of people want to know, how do I know if I'm being emotionally abused? Notice what David says. I wander restlessly. Notice the restlessness with my musing. Musing is where your mind is constantly going over something. One of the typical characteristics of a person who abuses someone else is that he constantly works to keep the other person's thinking off track so that the person can't think reality clearly. And so you keep wondering, what's going on here? That's what's going on. Wander restlessly with my musing. I am greatly disturbed. The tremendous unrest, that's another signal that you're being abused. At the voice of the enemy, at the snares of the wicked. In other words, when you get around this person and you get suddenly tense and everything, that's a sign you're being abused. For they bring down trouble upon me. And that's true. If a person, everywhere you go, they arrange for others or for others to bring trouble upon you, that's a sign that you're being abused. And in their anger, they bear a grudge against me. You don't even know sometimes what the grudge is. It's just there. That's an effort for a person abusing. And the reason people try to abuse is they want to control you. If they can control you, then they can get done what they want in their lives. So these are signs of unjust abuse. Musing, disturbance, restlessness, trouble, someone bearing an angry grudge that doesn't make sense, it's unexplained, extreme anxiety. So these are signs to watch for. But once again, the solution is never, never, never lash out at the party. It only gets worse. Because you play into the game plan of the party if you lash out. Because they can take that and say, see, this person is, they're off their rocker. And they can make life difficult. The best thing to do is just shrink back and pull away from the efforts. And then let God handle it. Dr. Ryrie adds a very interesting note. On verse 15, he has a footnote where it says, let them go down into hell. Better let them go down alive into Sheol. Namely, let God's judgment be immediate and startling, as was that upon Korah. Remember Korah, Numbers 16, 30 to 32? Korah had risen up against Moses' leadership and said, since when are you supposed to be the leader? You're taking too much leadership upon you. And God judged Korah by having the ground open up, and he and his whole family and everything went alive down into the pit. It just fell in, and the earth closed over them and crushed them. And that was their death. Incidentally, that's how the Antichrist is going to be judged. God's going to cast him alive into Sheol. And it may be that the earth will close over him. We don't know. But that may actually happen. And the reason David says this is not for personal vindication, but because the treachery was against God's appointed leader. There's a law, and I can't find it somewhere. I think in the book of Exodus or maybe Leviticus somewhere, it could be Deuteronomy, where it's a capital offense to demean a leader of the Lord, which is very serious. See, God puts people in leadership because he wants them to lead, and they have to have a following, they have to have respectability. If you attack that respectability, then that's a capital offense because it hurts the whole group. And so God, throughout the Word of God, has been very strict. Well, this person has made an attack on David. David is anointed to be the next king. So it's an attack against the leader of God's people. It's a capital offense, and that's why David was asking for that to be carried out. So all sorts of little lessons here in this very interesting passage. No, we don't know who this particular person was who betrayed David. We're not told that it was Saul in this case. We're not told if it was the Edomite. We're just not told, and it's not that important. So the lesson is David exampled the need to respond to a betrayal by giving the crisis by faith to God in prayer to handle. So may we handle difficult betrayals. If you ever are betrayed, and these betrayals by close associates by following David's example. That's taking it to the Lord in prayer, leaving it with him, and then, as far as necessary, pulling back, shrinking back, not creating a scene, but being very, very careful to lessen our exposure to the abuse that occurs. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the particular lesson here, particular passage. It certainly doesn't have to be if there's something else that has come up.